Late this summer, I had the opportunity for the third year in a row to talk to young women from Israel and Palestine. And all of these women over the 3 years have been young leaders in Creativity for Peace. That's an organization whose mission is to nurture understanding and leadership in Palestinian and Israeli communities. Leadership in Palestinian and Israeli adolescent girls and women so that they take on significant roles in their families and their communities and countries that advance peaceful coexistence. And one of their key programs is their Creativity for Peace summer camp in northern New Mexico, which brings adolescent girls from Israel and Palestine together for a few weeks in the summertime in a safe environment where communication and leadership are supported. And it's an amazing program where girls who have grown up often considering the other as their enemy have the opportunity for not only dialogue with each other, but also in the making of art, which plays a large role in their program. And of course, lots of girl fun and the formation of new friendships that cross religious and cultural boundaries. The young women who I've spoken to over the last few years are former campers who apply for and are accepted into the Young Leaders Program. They are individuals who have made peacemaking an integral part of their lives. We're going to hear the interview I recorded with four remarkable young women late this summer. It does take all of us a couple of minutes to warm up and get into the groove, but very soon their wisdom, their love, compassion, and leadership skills will be quite apparent to you. So here are the young leaders from Creativity for Peace. Sivan is a 23-year-old Jewish Israeli who attended Creativity for Peace Camp in 2005, worked as a young leader in 2006, and completed her service as an officer in the Israeli military, and has returned this year as a senior young leader. Sivan, if you can tell us a little bit about your family and where you're from in Israel.
Okay. I'm from a small town, originally from, it's called Zichron Yaakov, next to Haifa. I grew up there with my mother. My parents are divorced. I have a brother and a sister. They're older than me.
So is there a population of Arab Israelis living near?
Yes, in my area, yes.
Mm-hmm. And prior to your connection with Creativity for Peace, did you or your mother and brother personally know any Arab Israelis?
Yes, we did. My mom works in an Arab school near the center of Israel. She works in a special education, so she works as a counselor there in that school. Sometimes it would work, and I had a friend from school that was Arab, and she studied my school. She was the only Arab. She was a really good friend of mine, but I don't think that's more than that's it.
Because I know when I've interviewed some of the young leaders before, some of them had never before the Creativity for Peace Camp actually ever met an Israeli or met an Arab. Let me ask you, Muna. Muna is 19 years old, and she's a Palestinian from the city of Nablus in the northern West Bank. Can you share some things about your family about Nablus? Say your last name, your whole name for us.
Yeah, my name is Muna Sbuh. I'm 18 and a half years old. So we're living in Nablus, and it's kind of a big city. Me, my dad, and my mom, and I have one sister and one brother. Actually, I'm living there since 17 years old, but now I moved to Ramallah in order to study at Birzeit University.
For listeners who might not be aware of Nablus and exactly the geographical location of the West Bank, can you give us an idea of where it is in relationship to Israel?
It's in the north of Palestine. It's close to Ramallah. And I don't know actually how far is it from Israel.
But it's not far from... Is it somewhere near Jerusalem?
Yeah, it's kind of near Jerusalem, like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, as a child and then as a teenager, what kind of feelings did you have about Jewish Israelis?
All the feelings that I used to have is fear and just to be away from them because all the Jewish people I knew are the soldiers that I see at the checkpoints. So I didn't have any relationship with any Jewish people before this camp.
So you really, yeah, no relationships when you were growing up. And Zoe Rosiner,
mm-hmm.
is 19 years old. And what kibbutz did you grow up on? Say the name for us.
The name is Kibbutz Lavot HaBashan.
Is that somewhere near Haifa?
Not really. Like, in United States terms, it's like really close, but in Israel terms, it's not so close. It's like 2 hours from Haifa.
So you grew up on a kibbutz.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how your parents came to the kibbutz?
Well, my mom was born there, and my father, he met my mom in the university, and then they lived in the kibbutz. But actually, there was this program in Israel that it's like that people go and help build kibbutzim. So my grandparents were part of this kibbutz, of building the kibbutz.
And the kibbutz, the population of that, would that be individuals who came from Eastern Europe?
You can say that, yeah.
Where'd your grandparents come from?
My grandma was born in Israel, but all of her family are from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And like she doesn't have aunts and stuff like that because of the Holocaust. And my father's, I think that his mom grew in Israel like 8 generations. They weren't in the Holocaust. And his father's family, they went to Israel before. So...
And can you tell us one thing perhaps that you liked and maybe didn't like about growing up on a kibbutz?
Well, the education is really good. Like, because there's not a lot of people, they really, like, spend a lot of money on education, and it's really, really good. This is what I really liked. And the thing that I didn't like, it's just, it's like a bubble, and you know everyone, and everything you do, in a second, everyone knows that you did it, and, like, that's the only thing.
Okay, thank you. And Aya. Aya is Arab Israeli, 22 years old. Tell us where you're from and a little bit about your family.
Okay. I'm Aya. I'm living in a city in the center of Israel. I'm a Palestinian there. It's called Umm al-Fahm. It's all Arabs there. And I'm living with my parents. We are 3 girls and 1 brother. My oldest two sisters are married, me, and my brother now is living in Tel Aviv because he's studying in the university there.
And growing up, did you know Jewish Israelis? Were they in any way part of your life?
Actually, no. Yes, we knew some because we have some friends, but not so close friends. When I was little, yeah, I know, like, some Jewish people. But when I grew up, I didn't have any friends but the camp. And, like, we don't have good communication between them. I have a communication with them, like, when I go to the malls. And, like, or the cities or villages are Israeli there. So this is the... most connection between them.
And your feelings about Jewish Israelis when you were growing up?
At first, I was scared because, like, all the thoughts or the people that telling me that the Jewish people are not so good. But when I came to the camp, I found out this is the opposite. And now I'm like, I'm like comfortable with like talking to them or dealing with them. So now I'm feeling good with them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that some more. I just wanted to know what it was like growing up. And I didn't ask you, Zoe, growing up on a kibbutz, if you had the opportunity to meet Arab Israelis or Arab people who are not Israelis.
No. The only thing, like, I knew was that, like, there is a village near our kibbutz, so, and there was snowing there in the winter, so we used to go every year, but don't have, like, Arab friends or something like that.
And did you have feelings about Arab Israelis?
The truth is, like, when I was, like, below 16, I didn't care so much. Really, like, I said, like, okay, I know what's up, but don't really care. But like,
you mean you didn't think about it very much? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So I want to ask all of you the circumstances in which you got interested in creativity for peace. So I am going to start with you and ask you, how did you first hear about Creativity for Peace? What interests you? What grabbed you about it?
First, actually, I didn't know about, like, a peace. I didn't come for a purpose to the peace camp. I heard it from a friend. She told me there's a peace camp in America and you will have fun. So I went, like, okay, sign up, but I didn't know exactly what is the camp. I didn't expect, like, everyone to do peace, because I didn't think that I can make a change or a difference. So
basically you came because you had friends who told you about it.
Yes.
And you want to have some fun and come to this
exactly.
country?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. So did you have any fears or apprehensions? Because you knew there were going to be Israeli...
Actually, I didn't think about it because at then, I didn't talk about it with anyone. So I didn't have that fear, or at the same time, I wasn't so happy to meet them.
Okay. What about you, Sivan? How did you find out and get interested in coming to Creativity for Peace camp when you initially came?
I guess it started before the camp. 2 years before the camp, I came to the camp when I was 17. And two summers before, I attended a workshop for Jewish and Arab people from Israel. It was like an art program. And ever since, I just started to get interested in these meetings, and it felt really important to me. And through my friend, I had a friend that was in the camp a year before, and she said I should go. She just, by knowing me, she recommended. So I decided to go for it.
So when you first went, you weren't in the military yet?
No, I was 17.
When you went into, when you came to peace camp?
Yeah.
And how old were you when you went into the military?
I was 18 and a half.
So can I ask you what you did in the military?
Yeah. I first started, it was a basic training and a course that I became, I had a part that I helped soldiers that got hurt from any reasons. We have a big, big department in the Israeli army that is about supporting soldiers that get hurt for any reason, and for family that lost their child in the army, or like it can be a wife that lost her husband in the military, or kids that lost their parents in the army.
So once you started attending camp, and now that you're a young leader, I'm guessing that you became very serious about the work mm-hmm. that Creativity for Peace does and that you do. Did you have any challenges? Do you know the word reconciling your being in the military with being part of Creativity for Peace?
Yes, of course. Yes, it's complicated.
I bet it is. Yeah.
I went to the army because I felt that it's still supporting me and protecting me in the situation we are now. And in Israel, we have a very deep commitment for kids in our age to go to the army, because my friend did it, so I should do it too, because we're all doing it together. And if one won't do it, then the other will stop doing it to go to the army. Not that it's a choice, but it's also from something from inside we feel the commitment. And what helped me, before I went to the camp, I thought about being a fighter. And in Israel, if you're a girl, you don't have to be. Only boys have to be fighters. After the camp, I felt that I should do something that I'm more strong in it. And it's something that connected to emotion to help to support people. So I became an officer after I joined the army because I wanted to be in a part that only officers do, that is supporting people that lost their children in the our military.
Yeah, thank you. Muna, how about you? How did you find your way to Creativity for Peace?
I actually, one of my friends came to this camp a year before me. So she told me that it's going to be really a good experience and you have to go. For me, at the beginning, I didn't tell anybody that I'm going to a peace camp. I just told them I'm going to my friends. I told them that I'm going to a camp in the United States, but nobody knew that I'm going to meet Jewish and be the same camp. Because I actually have a supportive family, but my friends and my school are really are not. I don't know. They just like if they knew that I'm coming to this camp, my school will make anything to make me not to come to this camp. So I had to lie. I just like had come, to go to a camp in the United States. They didn't know where I'm going, and my family, my friends, they think that all these things are brainwashing. So I had to. They knew that I'm coming here, but the only person that I have to lie is my school. So it was hard for me to tell everybody where I'm going because I didn't know actually where I'm going. I just like I knew that I'm going with Jewish people in a camp, but I didn't know what I'm going to do. So all the only people that were supporting me are my family.
So did you have any fears about coming, any anxiety about being in a situation, a close situation with Jewish Israelis?
Of course, actually, because all I knew about them, I told you, it's the soldiers that I see when I pass at the checkpoints. These people at the checkpoints, all I knew about them is they humiliate me and just like have fun by making me late and stuff like that. So all the feelings that I used to have is fear and hatred and stuff like that. So I had inside of me, I had the desire to come to this camp and to know that all the people in Israel are like that, or maybe, I don't know, just like had a desire inside me to feel what they feel and what they think about me and what I think about them.
That's really interesting. I mean, that's being a powerful young person, I think, in terms of having all those fears and just knowing the way you've been treated and not really knowing what you're getting yourself into. So there was some, you talked about desire. What was that large desire? Just to see, to be adventurous and see what it's going to be like to be sharing space with Jewish Israelis?
It's the desire of getting to know teenagers in my age, and I want to know if they think just like me or just like, I really wanted to get to know people in my age, not about politics and stuff, just like you know, when you're connected to someone that's in your age, it's different than talking with a soldier in the army or something like that.
Yeah, thank you. And Zoe, what about you? How did you find your way to New Mexico to be part of this Creativity for Peace?
Well, actually, I just heard, like, not even from a close friend, I just heard a conversation that someone said that she's going to a peace camp in the United States. And I said, wow, United States, that's really cool. I want to go.
And why did you want to go? What was it about that peace camp, United States?
Like, it was really shallow. It was really, like, just I wanted to go to a camp in the United States. It really, like, it was shallow.
Shallow?
Yeah.
So it sounds like, from what everybody has said here, that to begin with, you weren't sure what you were getting yourself into at all. And it wasn't necessarily coming from some really deep place.
Yes.
But maybe there was a sense of adventure and U.S. and
having fun.
And having fun. Yeah. And maybe the word peace sounds good. It's better than hearing the word war, I guess. Right? So I want to go back to you, Aya, because I know that that you were part of the camp. And did you come back a second time?
Yes.
But then you left. Mm-hmm. And would you talk about that? What that experience was like for you? Why you decided you had to leave?
Yes, okay. When I was a young leader, this is the second time was for me, I learned so much about the camps. I had so much fun there. And I was open-minded to live with the Jewish people. So I was deciding like to continue in the program on the organization of Creativity for Peace. But when I came back home, it was so difficult for me like to face people and to tell them about the camp, about my experience with the Jewish people. And at the same time, there was lots of stuff telling me to stop the participating in the camp. And outside, there was a war, Gaza war, and my friend was killed there. It was for me like sad, and I was so angry to see innocent people are killed, to hear my friends and some of my family going through the checkpoints and have a hard time. Also, they can't, even they in the West Bank, can't transfer from one city to another. Also, like inside me, it was difficult for me because I wanted to go to the university then. I want to learn occupational therapy. But there was an age limit because of the army. They have to accept, like, I have to go to the university when I'm 21. And I was 18 since, and I finished high school. So I couldn't study in my country, so I went to study out the country. Because all the like conflict there, my dad stopped working because he was working in textile with companies, American companies, like big companies. So they was afraid to continue working with him because of the conflict in Israel and Palestine. So they all cut the commitment with him. So it was like a very difficult period for me. And I thought this peace camp is not worth it.
And when you say not worth it, what do you mean by that?
I mean that we go 3 weeks to have fun, to talk about it. We become friends. We live with each others. But when we go home, nothing is changing. The people are the same people, and the government the same government. They still have this conflict. Still, there's a people like killed every day, neither from both sides. So it was for me like, so what, going there and have fun and like know them, like the Jewish people. But in my home, like my friends, my family don't accept that. So
were you experiencing then, it sounds like it must have been a very emotional time for you. Were you experiencing a lot of anger and rage?
Yes. Also, like, I was a teenager. I wasn't, like, very mature of my thoughts. Like, I was thinking lots of things, thoughts. Like, one day I'm thinking, oh, no, it's a bad thing. The other day, oh, no, I can make a change. So it was really a confusing period for me.
So what was that, about 2009 or so?
Yeah, actually, yes. It was like for 10 months, yes.
But then something changed. You came back again as to be part of the Young Leader Program. So what happened with you? How did that change come about?
When I decided that I don't want to participate with the camp, I called all the staff that I'm not participating. But sometimes my friends still like telling me there's a meeting today and there's a meeting next week. So one day, one of the staff called me and told me there's a meeting
We should explain. You're talking about a meeting back home, right?
Yes.
Because meetings, besides meeting here, throughout the year you meet. Is that
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. Like, actually, in Creativity for Peace, we, like, continue meeting in Israel back home. So, like, the whole year. So we have, after coming back in the summer, we have meetings, like, every 2 months or... Yeah, like this. So one of the meetings, they called me and they told me, like, if you want to come, we let me know. We are letting you know that there's a meeting now. So I told them, okay, I'm just coming just to see my friends because I really miss all the girls there, but not to participate in anything. So the day I went to this meeting, I don't know. I feel a weird feeling. I told the girls, like, this camp is a magic. I don't know why. I feel so safe there, and I was comforted with talking to the girls. At that night, I thought that after, like, I came back home, I thought that the change really came from us. If I stayed, like, telling that there's nothing changing. Nothing will be changed. But if I say it, I will change. My friend will change, so we can really have a hope to do something better.
This is Women's Focus. I'm Carol Boss. We're listening to an interview I recorded with four young Arab and Jewish women from Palestine and Israel who are in Creativity for Peace's Young Leader Program.
Well, that almost sounds like a kind of transformational experience that you had. And
yes.
You used, I thought, a really good word, magic. Is there anyone here who wants to talk about what the magic of Creativity for Peace is? Zoe?
I can talk about it. I think that the magic is the first thing that they teach us in the camp. We have every day we have sessions of dialogues that we talk about our feelings and everything. And the first three sessions about how to listen and how to speak. And I really think that if I needed to point on something in the camp that will make the change, I think that it's this. It's the how to listen and how to speak. Because once you know how to listen to another person, like, you don't need anything more than that. The compassion comes with this, and the love comes with this, and the understanding and everything, you know? Once you just need to open your ears and to listen to the person who's talking to you. And if he shouts on you, it means that you listen. You need to listen more. And then he will stop.
Well, while you're saying this, Zoe, I see
Muna.
My nickname is Muni. You can say Muna.
Okay. I knew that. I knew that nickname had to be Muni. So it's Muna. You were nodding in agreement with Zoe. Why don't you say something about that, the importance of listening, what that really means for all of you Jewish, Arabs, Palestinians being together?
I think everybody came to the camp and want to express her own feelings. And if you're like, didn't know these rules of listening, you will just like shouting at each other and will not listen to each other's story. But when I came to this camp, I realized that each girl at this camp has her own story. So I have to listen to them. I'm not the only one who's suffering. She's suffering. Everybody has the same problem at this camp. So I think I had the opportunity to have this skill of listening because at this camp, I realized that it's right that I feel that I'm really humiliated and I'm really in a bad situation. But at the same time, some of the Jewish girls have these stories, and I had to listen to them in order to be able to feel this peace thing. So I think that was a very good experience to have this listening skill.
So, Sivan, let me ask you, was that a revelation for you to hear everybody sharing their stories and see that Palestinians, Arab Israelis, Jewish Israelis actually have this common thread of experience?
Yes. Like, for me, really the camp was, I felt like it's something life-changing experience. I felt like I'm coming back home and I'm not the same at all. Because also in the camp I had I think the magic is also that you have opportunity to express yourself, and you talk about your own feeling and your fears, and you're doing it together. It feels so strong because you're always in the back of your mind. You're like, I'm sitting with my enemies, or I'm sitting with people like I don't even get to meet back home. And doing it together in a space that is allowing everybody to express themselves is, I don't think it's something I can explain in words. It's just, it's amazing. And I didn't have this experience before. And that's what, I think that's what brings the love in. I think the magic is the love in the camp.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that moves me so much about this work is just the notion of coming together and meeting the individuals who you might once in your life have considered your enemy, and finding out in ways that, what, you're really the same in many ways? What do you think, Aya?
Explain the
question.
Yeah.
So the notion of meeting young women, girls who are, you know, you might have thought in your life, they're my enemy.
Yes.
And what that sensation is like to come together. I think Sivan was just talking about that a little bit. What that's like to come and actually see that in so many ways we're the same. And how powerful it is. That's what moves me a lot.
Yes. I want to like to start before this thing. At home, all the people, because we are an Arab village, we have no communication with, really communication with the Jewish people. So all the thoughts that they are so bad, they are not good, they are the army, they are against the Palestinian people. So I had that thought that everyone's not good. But in the camp, when I knew the girls, I found out that really we are the same. Living with 16 girls in the same house, having the same experience, going to each with each other, eating and sleeping with each other, it's really something different, because I knew that we have the same thoughts, we have the same feelings, we have fun together, we laugh together, so they are not different between others. So like we learned at the camp to think of the person as a person, not as a race. So this is what helped us too much, that to have this connection between a good relationship between us.
Yeah, thank you, Aya. If you think back when you began camp, I want to see if any one of you has a particularly significant experience that happened that really changed things for you. A story to tell us about being a camper. Muna.
I always tell this story, and I'll keep telling this story. At the camp, I had the opportunity to meet lots of Jewish girls, but I had a special friend. Her name is Yara. We were at the camp with each other, so we had a very good relationship with each other. And then after the camp, I wanted to continue with the creativity for peace because of Yara. Just having her at that camp was the main point of me to think about coming to these meetings and trainings and stuff. So, and we were supposed to come to with each other at the camp as a young leaders, but because she has to go to the army, so we were separated. But before I came here to this camp, she called me and to make everything is fine. And I just love this girl. She's really special to me. And before being a young leader, we had to apply for an application. So I didn't know about it. She called me 2 days before training to Cyprus, and she called me, "Do you want to be a young leader? If you want, you have to apply now." And it was like, I don't know anything about being a young leader, but because you're going, I will apply now, and we will go to this training together. And I met her parents at the airport, and they really have the love for me, and that was really helping me. And I said, "Oh my God, my family are supporting, her family are supportive." It was really a good sign for me to continue in this progress.
So your best friend Is she Jewish Israeli?
Yes, she's Jewish. And I need to say it's this thing that everybody asked me. If anybody asked me, do you have a Jewish friend? I will say yes, and she's really close to me. And they always ask me if you would see her at the checkpoint, would you hug her? Even though you will be called like betrayer. But I always say yes, I will hug her. She's my friend. I know that her soul is different what she's wearing in her uniform army or something. But she's really special in her soul, and it's all what I care about.
Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else have a significant experience that happened to you in camp that you'd like to share? Sivan?
there was the, like for me when I was a camper, I really felt that we're in a place that we need to, for me especially, like to defend, because we shared a lot, and it was a lot of story from the Palestinian and from the Jewish Arab, and I felt that my voice wasn't heard, and it really occupied me all the camp. Like, I felt like I need to put like a wall and just to defend me and my country and to explain everything. And there was a girl that really, like, her story really touched my heart, and she was from Palestine. And her father died from a heart attack, and he was stopped in one of the checkpoints, and he was delayed there. And, like, for me, I don't know, in the camp, I really felt that it doesn't matter. Like, we're all human, and the separation we're continuing with each other is only hurting each side. And it was really, like, it was really meaningful for me that, like, she really touched my heart, and all of the girls touched my heart. And it's, like, really it's a choice you make if to call this person an enemy or a friend. And in the camp, we always say, an enemy is someone you haven't heard his story. So just like this, you can make an enemy and a friend to a friend. And we're doing something in the camp and in the program all year long, something so special and so meaningful for the whole world, because we actually, like, the people, we can see that the girls really, we just want to live together and to be happy and to have a good life, and it can be together, it should be together. And I just always, when I go back home or like from the meetings or from here to Israel, I'm just feeling that I have a secret, and I really want to share it with everybody because it's so easy to do it. It really is.
Thanks, Sivan. And you know, when I ask for stories that might be significant, they don't have to be earth-shattering stories. Do you know the term in English that we have? An aha moment? Aha. It's like, aha. It's like a sudden realization of something. It just suddenly hits you that something makes sense, and it could be really simple. Does anybody else have something that they want to share, a story from being a camper? Zoe?
I can share, but it's an aha moment, but it's not from the camp. It's from after. Because, can I share? When I got back from the camp, the truth, I didn't felt like I had a change in myself. And I felt like, okay, it was really nice, and it's good to meet with the other side, but I knew some of the things, and I didn't feel like they made new stuff for me. And then, like, 2 or 3 months later, I thought about how I was after the camp, and I saw how much I've changed. Like, I was, wow. It's really influenced me. Like, how could I not know this? Like, I listen to people differently, and I hear stuff that I didn't heard before. Like, if someone in my class says something against Arabs, I stand up and I tell him no. Like, you're not supposed to do it. You're not supposed to laugh on it. Like, seriously, really. So that's really was like a aha moment.
Well, I'm calling it an aha moment. You just call it a wow moment. It's really it's the same thing, I think. So, as former campers and now as young leaders, I want to ask you if you've had an experience that you can share from being a camper that will illustrate for the people that listen to this what you have come to understand about anger and forgiveness, or anger, forgiveness, or compassion? Is there some moments that you're Sivan, you're shaking your head, so I know you have something to say.
But actually something I knew, but I learned it more this year, that underneath anger, there's hurt. And underneath that, there's love. So it's all this circle. And like I saw as a young leader, one of the girls that were so hurting about stuff that happened in the camp. But it all comes from the love. I mean, something hurt, but underneath, we care. This way we come. I mean, eventually the girls, even if they're angry, so angry sometimes at the other side, and for me as an Israeli and a Jewish, so sometimes I feel their anger projected to me if they're Palestinian. And I know that underneath all of it, there's love. And eventually this way I feel the camp is so special, because when we talk in the dialogue and we share our stories and we cry, so then after a while the calm loves to it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Aya.
I want to continue like a story that you started. This year we have two campers that start like with not a good friends, one a Palestinian live in Israel and one a Jewish girl. They always not fight, but they don't like each other so much. And one dialogue, when we're talking about the conflict, they really had a bad fight. So they like start yelling at each other, "You're the wrong, I'm the right." So it was difficult for us also to handle it, because as Sivan said, it's projected to us, the anger. And on the other hand, we want to fix everything because we loved the two girls. So they didn't listen, because really all that they had is anger. But by the trainings and activities that we got about how to trust people, how to let anger, how to focus on your really in deep feelings, helped them a lot. By the end of the camp, like it was before 2 days when we had a closing ceremony, they really hugged each other and cried so much, because deep inside they like really have a good connection, because they were sleeping in the same room. They were roommates. So it was like hard for them. Deep inside they know that they loved each other, because both of them are good. But like, because they argue about some stuff that it doesn't matter at the end. So when we saw them like this, it was really a pleasure for us to see girls from transferring from anger to love.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Aya. Anyone else have any thoughts about moments of really understanding what forgiveness means, or compassion, transforming anger? Zoe.
I think that the biggest forgiveness that we can make for others is to forgive ourselves. And it's something that Dodi keeps saying about the camp, that it starts from, it doesn't like, you don't feel like you need to heal the other. First of all, you heal yourself. And then you can, and you forgive yourself, and you let yourself feel your emotions, because what happens is that you live in this routine that is so hard, and you don't let yourself feel the pain and the anger and all those things that are they come naturally, and you don't know how to handle it, so you don't feel them. And then you come to the camp, and you allow yourself to feel those emotions, and then you allow yourself to forgive, because you took it all out. So this is the, and that's why I think every year that it ends like this, with a hug and with a big cry, because we learn to forgive ourselves, and then we forgive our friend and our environment.
Muna.
I think that what helps us a lot in the Green Curtain for Peace to forgive is, like, we don't talk about politics. or your government did, my government do, we only talk about, share about our own stories, our own suffering, what I feel. We don't just like say, I hate what your government do. We don't just like your own stories. That's why you, we ourselves, the teenagers, would like feel with the other side that about what's her story. So I think that would help me myself to forgive and to love and just to put away my anger just by expressing my feelings, my stories at the camp. And I think it worked. And if it didn't work, we can't, nor me or any of these young leaders would continue in this camp as a young leaders.
Thank you. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I think I want to end by asking each of you that you made this pretty deep commitment to peacemaking by becoming part of the Young Leaders Program. And can each of you share how you see yourselves, essentially what your goals are and your hopes are, and how you're going to help open up the doors of peace?
I can say.
Zoe.
Well, can I start by telling a little story?
Yes, you can.
We have the young leaders, we have trainings. And and we had a training when we had to write a speech about ourselves, like we're 80 and someone is telling our lives and everything we did. And this was really powerful because we could write all of our goals. And so I wrote a speech to myself, and I realized how much change I want to do. And I think that this is what really inspired me to do this work and to continue by letting people know how much power they have inside of them. You know, it's a really good exercise. And also because, like, if we don't talk to ourselves about what like we want to do or like just exploring about how our life looks like, then we don't know if we really want it. You know, like if you don't look at your life from outside and you just live them day by day, you don't know if this is the life that you pictured. And I think that we can change our life if we don't think that, if they don't look good to us, you know, and this is my main goal, I think, right now, on my mind, like, to let people know that they have the power to do whatever they want, you know, just it only takes 5 minutes to look from outside and to say if it's right for me or not, and it only takes a lot of time, but it's good to change it, you know, and we have the power to do it, and this is really like, like, we have the power. We have everything we need, seriously. Like, that's the goal.
So, Aya, do you feel like you have everything that you need? And if so, what's your goal? What would you like to accomplish?
First of all, I want to say, like, half of the way to the peace is listening to each other with compassion, listening to your heart, and in this camp, Creativity for Peace, in this organization, Creativity for Peace, I had to learn these skills to listen deeply to myself, to my heart, which lead me also to listen to my friends compassionately. So this is the thing that really I'm aware now. After the camp, now I'm so confident for myself. I can share everything. I'm not keeping everything inside. This is like impersonal. Also, I said before that I'm occupational therapy. Before the camp, I was just saying that I'll be able to treat or to work with people that are people, not Jewish people. But after seeing these girls, after like being aware of the thoughts that I had before are wrong, that people are not equal, are the same. So now I'm looking for a job in both the sides, in the Arab village and the Israel in the Jewish village. So now really I have the hope, I have the love inside me. We're all a peacemakers.
Yeah, thank you. Muna.
I think that everybody's aim is to live in peace and in a safe place with no wars, with love and stuff like that. And I think for me, as a girl that's only 19 years old, all I want to do is what I learned in this organization, this camp, is to speak up and share my experiences, my feelings. And for me, I would like, I turned from school to college, so my school was really protective and not supporting me. But now at my university, it's really accepting everything, and I think this is the first step for me. I can speak up there. I can. I would never be embarrassed or shy for being in this camp. This is, I think, it's something that I'm really proud of, and I think family by family will make peace. We're just like in a big land, so everybody can live there.
Muna, where are you going to? What university are you going to?
I'm in Birzeit University. Mm-hmm.
And Sivan?
I have many dreams. So many that it's hard for me to decide what to go after. But I think, especially after this summer, I think what I want to create and what I will create is a space for people to experience what we experienced in the camp. I mean, I think that's what really people need back home, a place to feel, because we feel the peace in the camp, and it's the first time we feel it, because it's not coming from home. So, like, to create a place for people to express themselves, especially for people they called enemies, to do it together.
Mm. Yeah, lovely. So are all of you going to continue to meet as young leaders?
For sure. Yes, actually, yeah. We have a training in Turkey in September.
Oh, wow.
So it's not that far.
Yeah. Thank you so, so very, very much, Sivan, Muna, Zoe and Aya, this has been wonderful to talk with you. Thank you.